from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands, and hearken, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, in his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with my God. And now the Lord says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. From the Gospel according to John. When Jesus had thus spoken, he was troubled in spirit and testified, Truly, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was lying close to the breast of Jesus. So Simon Peter beckoned to him and said, Tell us who it is of whom he speaks. So lying thus, close to the breast of Jesus, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is he to whom I shall give this morsel when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money box, Jesus was telling him, Buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something for the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. In his lifetime, Michelangelo carved 4 Pietas, but the first one is the most famous, the one at St. Peter's, in the first side chapel on the right, where a disproportionately large Virgin Mary is cradling a smaller and dead Christ. In each subsequent carving, the figure of Christ grew larger, and that of Mary smaller, as Michelangelo's spirituality changed over the years. But in his first carving, I think Michelangelo suggests Our Lady is not simply Mary of Nazareth, but the Virgin-made Church, as St. Francis puts it. The whole Church cradles the cold corpse of Christ, defeated in death, wondering at his wounds. And that is why the figure of the Mother is disproportionately large. Some sorrows are so deep and wide that one mourner is not enough. The greatest griefs in our world concern the suffering of innocent humans, especially that of children. the spectacle of such suffering is regularly used as an argument against God, against his love, and against his existence. In Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, Ivan cannot accept any talk of God's providence bringing forth a greater good out of all these evils. He says that such a good is not worth the tears of one tortured child. And so he explains to his younger brother, "It's not God that I don't accept, Alyosha. Only, I most respectfully return him the ticket." Ivan Karamazov's reaction is in many ways a reasonable one, but it overlooks two important points. The first is this, that any attempt to explain the suffering of innocence in the world cannot overlook the sufferings of Christ. To the question, why do bad things happen to good people? We must ask the deeper question, why did bad things happen to a good God? The second overlooked point is this. Ivan Karamazov respectfully returns the ticket, but he does not ask why he has a ticket in the first place. Deeper than any question about why does God allow my evil is the question we must all face. Why does God allow me to be? Why do I exist? Why am I here? And Peter, in the Gospel, thinks he knows why he is here. Ever impetuous, he says to Jesus, "Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." But it is not Peter's job to die for his Lord. This death is for Jesus. It is the death of the only truly innocent human being. It is at the foot of the cross that we confront why bad things have befallen a good God, and why God allows me to exist. At the foot of the cross, all our other questions, all our whys, give way to tears, not to tears of despair, but tears of gratitude and joy and love.